I used to think I had patience, but the older I get, the less I have. How about you? Patience comes from one place. It comes from a right relationship with our Lord and Savior. Through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, through the great sacrifice of Jesus as he died in our place. And we have that defined very well in Galatians chapter 5. Do you have patience? I had Matt read this earlier, but I think I'm just going to read it again. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't have to, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Isn't that wonderful? We're not under the law. And we have an opportunity to walk in the Spirit. Now, this passage goes on, and I'm going to skip it, but the next part is the naughty list. The things we are not to do. And how do we do that? Not because of our own strength and power, but because of the presence of God working within us, the Holy Spirit. Now, does that mean that the moment you accept Christ, that that's all gone? You're no longer tempted? No, it's just the opposite. In fact, in a prayer group I'm in, last night we had a new member. We pray for the Ukraine and work around the world, and it's a missionary group. But this man, a police officer from the Denver area who met Bobby Watkins, who is the one that leads the group. This man is a new Christian because of an impact of a sports chaplain, Bobby, 15 years ago, while this officer was going through a divorce. And Bobby was a chaplain, I think, for the Spokane Indians at that time, and they were playing this team, I believe, in the Denver area. I'm not sure. It may have been here. And this team won. But this man was going through a divorce, and he talked to Bobby. And through God's providence, he has relatives out near the airport. I would assume in the Airway Heights area. And so he comes back to visit them and has Bobby's number and calls it, and Bobby's able to lead him to the Lord. Isn't that amazing what God can do? But in our conversation, he said, pray for me. Since I was baptized in March, it seems like the temptations are stronger than ever. He's remarried. He has a couple of children and he has a stepchild. And he said, I was just talking to my wife on the phone. And he said, ever since I did that, it's been hard. It seems like Satan is trying to do everything he can to keep me from having my quiet time, to keep me from reading God's word, to keep me from having the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. That's the way Satan works. And so when we come to Jesus and we trust him, then Satan says, wow, I've got to work overtime on this guy or this gal. He jumps on our back and he tempts. But it doesn't end there. Life goes on and there's more trials, and as we trust and as we follow, the temptations keep coming. And every time you get more active for the Lord, it seems like there's more temptation. It's the way that sin works. Now, the devil was defeated. And when the Lord comes again, we're going to have the victory party. But he wants to take everyone with him that he can. And if he doesn't have you because you're safe in the Father's hand, you're in Jesus, in the Father's hand, and he can't get to you, he wants to get to everyone that you know and work with. He wants to pull you away. And so that's why Paul lists these temptations that we face, the naughty list. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything to do with Santa Claus in this. But we all know what the naughty list is, and we all struggle, and we have to keep coming back to the Lord. And the key to that we find in our text for today, found in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 26. And I think Mark's going to put it up there. Okay, so I'll trust him and I'll read off the screen back there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So, sound like life? What we're dealing with? Now, I started out with the idea that I was just going to preach on patience because God knows I need more. Juan knows I need more. But when I started studying through this, I thought, you can't separate it, can you? It's one big Christmas present, the fruit of the Spirit. It's one big gift from God. When the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, that moment you trust in Jesus and give control to him in your life, the Holy Spirit indwells you and is there in your life to guide you through each of these steps. So, how about you? Does the Holy Spirit rule in your life? In 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, it says, do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. If anyone loves the world, If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. Because everything that belongs to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of lifestyle is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lusts is passing away, but the one who does God's will remains forever. So as we walk daily in these fleshly bodies with all the temptations, with all the struggles. And I know you don't have any. You don't have to worry about bills or what you're going to eat or where you're going to live or how you're going to pay your taxes or who you're going to vote for. You don't have any of those troubles, do you? No, we all do. And we have to deal with them every day. And so we have this package. Love is the beginning. There's no accident that that was the first one mentioned. It's our relationship with God. We are to walk in the spirit of love all day long and all night long. You ever wake up in the middle of the night, can't go back to sleep? I did not appreciate sleeping straight through the night when I was young. I wish I would have just praised God for that ability. But as we get older, what happens? Not only there are things on our mind, but there's aches and pains, and you turn over and you can't get comfortable, and all those fun little things that happen. If you've got air conditioning, then you got to make sure it's at the right level, or you get too cold at night, or you get too warm at night. If you don't have air conditioning, you just suffer. But our physical attitude comes from our walking day and night with the Lord, each step of the way. He is the one who brings us through. And so the love begins with loving our neighbor. I'm going to say a phrase here that maybe it reminds me of a song that maybe Joy remembers. Beaten up on the highway. When Joy was young, Loan was leading the choir at the school she was in. And this was a musical that they did. And you can guess what it's about. The question, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. As religious leaders walked by this man that was beaten up, they didn't want to defile themselves. They didn't want to become unclean because they were going to Jerusalem and they wanted to be able to go into the temple. This Samaritan, who couldn't even go in the temple, probably best for this man who was beaten up, he stopped, had compassion on him. He bound his wounds, dressed him, took him to what we would call a motel, a little inn, and asked the person to take care of him and said, here's some money. If it's not enough, when I return, I will pay the difference. Who is my neighbor? Anyone and everyone. We're to have love for God. The Lord, we're to love the Lord our God with all our strength, with all our soul, and all our mind. And we are to love our neighbor as ourself. That's why Jesus was asked, who is your neighbor? It's the spirit of love that we're to walk in all day long. And then we're to have joy, the joy of forgiveness. You know what we don't do enough as followers of Jesus Christ? We do not do enough celebrating. Celebrating, we were lost in sin, but now we have eternal life. Celebrating, Jesus went to the cross and took every one of our sins on himself as he stretched out there and died. We should celebrate. If anyone can celebrate, it should be us. Olympics, nah, they don't know anything about winning. Yes, they celebrate when they win after all that hard effort and labor and work. And when I was a teenager, I was a distance runner, and I knew I'd never make it to the Olympics, but my coach was from Australia, and he ran in the Olympics. And I thought, you know, that would be a dream to be in the Olympics. And oh, wow, and the Summer Olympics would come on. I watched everything I could. But you know what? That gold medal only lasts. You get it now. And what happens to your body if you don't keep working out? You're not going to get any more. Or if you're a gymnast and you get the twisties, you don't get the ones that are expected, like happened 3 years ago. All of those things. But we can celebrate because not only have our sins been forgiven, but we have an eternal home waiting for us. And yes, there's pain and suffering. There's disease, there's sorrow, there's, you know, I look around the room and I just say, hey, we've all facing some things, aren't we? One thing or another. But you know what? It's temporary. It's temporary. The Lord is coming again, and when he comes, if we haven't already gone to be with him, we'll meet him in the air. And if we have already left this worldly temple, our physical body, we'll have a new body that's glorified, and we'll be reunited with it, and we'll meet him in the air. In fact, we'll be first. Isn't it wonderful? We have much to celebrate because of the love and joy. And then peace. Your sin is forgiven. When you condemn yourself for something you've done that you've already brought to the Lord, you know what you're doing? You're doing Satan's job. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to bring it back to your memory. He wants to jump on your back and say, you're unworthy. You don't belong. You're dirt. But Jesus said, I took all your sin upon me when I died on the cross. Confess it to me, it's forgiven, and it's washed away. It's gone as far as the east is from the west. All of it has been remove. So you have the joy of forgiveness. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, you reveal the path. This is talking about God. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. In your right hand are eternal pleasures. Isn't that beautiful? That joy, because in your right hand. What was the right hand? It was the powerful hand of God. And I already did this illustration, but it's worth doing again. Jesus said, you're in my hand, I am in the Father's hand, and no one can pluck you out of my hand. The blood of Jesus paid it all. And we have eternal joy and forgiveness, and we have peace. And when I say peace, the song Peace Like a River just goes right through my mind. We have peace like a river in our souls. Then, this is what I'm supposed to be talking about, patience. it grows. So what's my problem? I'm having to grow as I face my physical limitations. You don't want me to name them all. I'm tired of them myself. And when I think one is conquered, another one comes. And I know that's the way all of us are dealing with things. But we shouldn't get angry. Why? Because God created us in His image. Each one of us was created to live the life that we have, this temporary life, to bring glory to God. So what did Paul say about his thorn in the flesh? It was for God's glory, as he was told, "My strength is sufficient." So we can serve the Lord no matter what we face. Now, out of all this grows the other fruits of the Spirit. Kindness. If you're glorying in the presence of God in your life and you have the patience He's given you, then you can be kind to that person that's being rude to you. Sometimes you don't want to. That's that fleshly desire. You want to just say, forget it, and tell them off. But no, you can be kind. My problem is, now that I have more hearing difficulties and I get on the phone, I love all ethnicities. We're all brothers and sisters created by God. But there's some dialects that I have trouble understanding on the phone. When you can't see their lips and you can't hear what's happening, it's easy to get frustrated. And I want to just hang up the phone. And in fact, I've been guilty of that before, because I can't understand what they're saying. And the more I ask them to speak slowly and distinctly, it seems like the faster they go. You been there? But we've got goodness and kindness from God, and so we should work at it. And then faith. Living this life does take faith. Believing that all things work together for good takes faith. Believing that God is going to work it out in the end. I've had it described to me in so many different ways, but one that I've always liked is that faith is this way. It's seeing that we just see one little picture of the movie. Those of you old enough to know what an old projected movie looks like, one screen after another, we just see one little picture. God sees the whole thing. And so we have faith that God is working it all out, one step at a time. The next one is one of my favorites because I've always loved babies. How many of you are baby lovers? I know you are, Robert. You love all little kids. I've seen you around them. To me, there's nothing more special than the innocence of a small child. That doesn't mean they don't lie and do things, because they do, but there's still an innocence. Our society is trying to take that away from them, and we're trying not to let it happen. But that innocence of a small child, it's just so special. And I remember when Joy was born, I actually said to the doctor, why didn't God put handles on them? You know, I held her and she was right here. But that became so wonderful to hold her as a little baby. You know, she was kind of unique because she had me and she had her papa, which is LaJuan's dad. And we carried her around all the time. And she was very strong as a small child. And she got her balance really good. And you could set her on your arm like that. And she wouldn't even tilt one way or the other. You know how other babies just reach and reach. She'd just sit there just as happy as could be. But there's something special about a small child and to see them grow and to take them for walks and see them pick up rocks and all the things that they do in development. But they respond to you. If you're gentle with them, they're gentle with you. You may have to teach them, especially if that some people have not been teaching them. But they learn quickly. And it's just so wonderful to have that. But then the last one just kind of sums up the rest. Self-control. If we're walking in the Spirit of God, then when something comes up that makes us angry, you know, the Bible does say, be angry and sin not. So anger is part of our creation, but we have to turn it over to the Lord. We have to take a moment and stop and think, what would Jesus do in this situation? What should I do? How should I handle it? And trust God. And this brings me up to the conclusion. Verse 26. We must not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And going into chapter 6 of Galatians, brothers, if somebody is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves, so that you won't be tempted also. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If you become too big for your britches, what my family used to call it, then you're not looking around to see how other people have needs and cares. And it's only in a spirit of humility that you can open the door to work with those who are struggling. And that's God's Holy Spirit working in you. Has your patience been short? Are you walking in the Spirit? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Because you can try all you want, and until you have God's power within you, you'll never win. But when you trust in Jesus, that makes all the difference. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond to God. You can do it where you're at. You can do it by walking the aisle. You can do it in your homes, those who are online. But when God's Spirit speaks to your heart, that is the time to say, yes, I'll follow you. Don't put it off. We're going to pray, and the worship team is going to be up here and lead us as we will have the song, Trust in God. Will you trust in God? Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. And we pray now at this time, this most important time, that lives will be changed, that people will say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way, that people will follow you. And Lord, we just thank you now that your Spirit is present, working in our lives here, working in those that are watching online. May you have the victory. It's in your name we pray. Amen.